Thank you, Sister Leah. What a blessing. I hope you listen to the words of a song like that. I appreciate all the music tonight and the choir special. Appreciate Brother Burke stepping in. Hector normally does the choir, but my, what a good job. How we're blessed to have that kind of talent. So many different ones that get up and be a special blessing to us. I've said it so many times, I believe it is so true, that in the old-fashioned music, God's people, I believe, were inspired of the Lord, and there's a message in our songs. And sometimes you learn more Bible truth sometime in the singing and the message of the hymns than you do maybe some other way, and I appreciate it very much. And a little patriotic music tonight, even though we won't be here till Wednesday the 4th, we might even rerun some of it. That was worth hearing again tonight, Brother Burton. Very good. Psalms chapter 17. Again, hoping I've got good news for you, not bad news. Hoping that the good news is I plan to be short. I just changed my mind. All right, we'll see. Psalm 17. I'm going to read a short text here, and then as you go to the New Testament and read just two or three verses. The very last verse of Psalm 17, very last one. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Then go with me to 1 John, getting on over toward Revelation. Picking it up in chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I want you to get there with me so we can start together and finish together. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Notice the relationship here now in verse 2. We shall be like him, we'll see him as he is. And then what we read over the very last verse of Psalms 17 there, that we'll be satisfied when we awake in his likeness. Now, I know it's the 4th, but I don't think I'm going to rip on some of the stuff I sometime do on the 4th. And I'm not apologizing for that. I think it's necessary. I really do. But I want to talk a little bit here on the text. It says in verse 17, verse 15 of Psalm 17, when I awake with thy likeness. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever pray as a child? Did you ever pray the little prayer, Lord, I lay me down to sleep, and if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Did you ever do that? That's about the only childhood prayer I remember ever being taught. And talks about waking up on the other side. And I don't know that I knew much about it, understood much about it. I from a very early age, I believe there was a God. I've told you my testimony story. I certainly was not saved till I was 22 years old and heard the gospel. But I believe there was a God. And sometimes, even after I got to be older, I find myself repeating that prayer. Now, before I got saved, that's about all I knew about it. But I've often heard people say something like this, and so have you. I want to see this before I die. You ever hear that? I want to see something. What they mean by seeing maybe is not necessarily seeing with the eye, but realizing something, knowing about something. And I want to see that before I die. Have you ever thought about that, heard about that? I want to talk to you a little bit tonight on things I'd like to see. Now, I want to say this. I don't care for all the things that a lot of folks care for. I'm sorry to say this, but if it was for me personally, there wouldn't be a Disney World. Now, I like it for the kids. And of course, long as Mr. Disney himself was alive, it was a lot better, and it's gone a lot different since then, especially with the gay movement and all that. But with all that said, I just really don't care for the artificial. I was talking to a man that was knowing he was going to die with cancer, and here's what he said to me. Before I die, I want to see Las Vegas. And I thought, if you're saved, Las Vegas is not going to hold a candle to what you're going to see when you take that last breath. It's amazing how men value things that aren't really worthwhile. And to me, that was not very good. But we have in this flesh, this fallen flesh, the lust of the eyes. We want to look at things. We want to see things. And yet there's a whole lot of things I don't care much for. And much of what the world cares for is nothing but very temporary stuff. It may satisfy for a minute, but not for very long. Not very long at all. It's a temporary trip through this life anyhow. And some of the glitter and glamour and the vanity fairs of this old world are just not much when you measure them up to what really counts. I remember one time when my son was very small here. I'm guessing he was 6, 7 years old, maybe, in that area, right down here on this parking lot I'm pointing at, this shopping center down here. Once a year for a while there, they would come in and they'd set up a little bit of a carnival. They'd sell cotton candy and they'd have a couple of rides and that sort of thing. So on a Wednesday night, I knew it was down there, and on a Wednesday night, he generally would hang around and ride home with me instead of with his mother. And so when we got in the car, I knew the place was still open, so I went down there and bought him some cotton candy. By the way, cotton candy is a good representation of how fleeting the world is. Not much to it. Amen. But I got him some of that, and they had a little merry-go-round with little cars. You know what I'm talking about? And so I asked him, would he like to ride? And he said, yes. So when the thing stopped, I got a ticket and I put him in one of the little cars, and you could pretend to stir it and you could toot the horn. And he did that for several circles around there and several kids in the cars. And finally the thing stopped and he got out and he kind of stood there looking like he was thinking. I said, Stephen, did you like it? Did you enjoy the ride? Yeah, I did, Daddy, but I really didn't go nowhere. Think that one through. That's what we are on this merry-go-round of a world. We don't really go nowhere. We're just spinning around in circles. It's vanity. It's temporary. Much of it is foolishness. And yet, look what a priority men put upon that sort of thing. And you hear the thing, I'd like to see this, that, or the other before I die. Well, I want to say a few things tonight. I'm going to say this. There is some things I have seen that's worthwhile. The hand of God I've seen more than one time. I've got that book back there, blue book back there, and the title of it, I think, is The Hand of God. And by the way, folks, Sister Carolyn Lee and others that helped with that, we went to the preacher's meeting on Tuesday, and I think we took 40 of them, Brother Bob. I believe it was 40 that we took in those two boxes. And boy, the preachers gobbled them up. Of course, I didn't charge for them. That has a whole lot to do with what preachers gobble up, I'll tell you that. When it's free, they'll get a hold of it, amen? But the truth was, that's okay. I want to get the message out. I want to get the fact out that I have in my life, by the grace of God, seen the hand of God. And I mean that with all my heart. I think about the early start here when we came first Sunday in 1971 and got started here. Folks, the church was in debt. The pews we were sitting on were not paid for. The bonds that had been sold to build the building was all fouled up in a mess. And I didn't hardly know what I was going to do, really, honestly. I knew I had to borrow some more money. Now, you're always in a fix when you owe what you can't pay, and yet you got to borrow more on top of it. And that's where we were. That was the mess we were in. Yet I couldn't sell any more bonds until the present bonds were taken care of. That was really a jam. And here was the other problem. I didn't know who they were sold to, who held them, who was about to sue us because we were delinquent on them. I didn't know any of that stuff. I'd come in just picking up the pieces. And I was playing Dick Tracy. I was playing how to find out who was some. And some of the folks, even like now, had come down from up north, and they had bought bonds, and I didn't know who they were. We had no records on it. And I began one by one to try to trace down everybody that held a bond, because I didn't know who, and they had a legal right. They had a legal right to file a lien against the church. I mean, I knew we were in a tight. And I remember telling my wife one day, one afternoon, I said, we're going to get in the car and we're going to drive. Wherever night catches us is where we're going to stay. And I'm going to find some of these people that's got these bonds. I got to fix this thing. And I'd sought some advice, but everybody I talked to was dumb as me. They didn't know what to do about it either. So I'm just doing what old country boy Hunch said to do, and that was, I need to find these people. I need to look them in the eye. I need to talk to them. And so that afternoon, we took off in the car, just she and I. The baby hadn't been born then. We wound up somewhere down around Sarasota, following leads, probably around 10 o'clock at night. Around 10 o'clock at night, and I went up into a condominium, big old building down there, found an address or number on the door and knocked on it. And a man opened the door and he had a chain on the door. He's at that time of night, who's knocking on my door? And peeked in, and I talked to him a little bit through the crack, and finally he opened the door and I went on in. He was very noncommittal, very poker faced. And I thought, boy, he's going to explode on me any minute. I had to explain to him, I know you've got a bad bond. I know you haven't had any coupons paid off. I know that the church is delinquent, but I want you to trust me a little bit further. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to issue a new bond issue, and I'm going to pay off the old issue. Now, you've got to trust me. Now, how do you sell that? You failed once. Trust me again. Wasn't good. But I talked like that to him. Still, he was somewhat noncommittal. I said, now, what I'd like to do is give you some new bonds for your old ones, and then we'll start paying when we're supposed to. Here's what he said to me. He said, well, preacher, said, my stuff's in a safe deposit box in the bank. He said, can you meet me at the bank in the morning? Now, he told me which bank. So Sonia and I went and stayed that night in a very dangerous, cheap location of a motel. But we did. And I met him the next morning in the lobby of the bank. And he had him get his safety deposit box out. And he opened it up and he got the old ones out. See, my plan up to then was just, thank God he's going to let me exchange. He handed them to me and said, I don't need the new ones, just forget it. Now, it was several thousand dollars. That was God. That was God's hand. And I can tell that story so many times and almost tear up over it still yet after 48 years, almost. But hand of God has been on things. You look at our ministries here, every one of them's got a story behind it.
That's right.
Even the village, there's a story behind it, folks.
Yeah.
If you want to stay to midnight, I'll tell you a story behind every one of them. But I ought to do it for whoever it was back there that said whatever they said. I won't. But anyway, there's a story behind it all. There's a story behind the radio station, how we got it. There's a story behind starting the school, starting the college, starting the camp. Most of you know the stories, and many of them are in that blue book back there. But it's one big testimony to the hand of God. That's what it is. It really is. We came first Sunday. We had 37 in Sunday school. And we had a mortgage. Pews were not paid for. I already said that. All that business, it took the hand of God to get us going. And of course, it took a lot of hard work. God blesses hard work. You ever notice that? Somebody said that the best way to pray is with sweat running down the hoe handle. Do you know what it means by that? He means do all you can do and ask God to add his blessing to it when it comes to working for the Lord. Really. And I've seen some things. I've seen the hand of God in so many ways that I will not take time to rehash tonight, no doubt about it. But I'd like to say another thing about it. Things I would like to see, and let me say this, things that I have seen. I'd like to see revival, real revival. Not just revival in the churches, but revival in the churches that would spread over into the nation. If America don't have revival, she's going under. That's all there is to it. I think the current president is probably placed in there by God, and it seems that it amazes me the success he's having with all the enemy that's lined up against him. It amazes me. It has to be God. I see the hand of God in that. I really do. I see the hand of God that the man's still alive. I don't know. I don't know what he'll do tomorrow. Sometimes I don't think he does. But it seems to be God knows because it's working out. And I praise the Lord for that. But I'd like to see revival that would do something in our nation. Yes. I've seen revival do something a few times. I've told you about the revival we had up in Sumter County when I pastored up there for 3 years. Now, if there was a least likely place that could have a soul-winning revival, that was it. Except for a little town with 400 people in it, 5 miles from the church, there was no two doors you could knock without driving from one to the other and finding it back in the woods. The population was just skimp. It just wasn't much. The whole county had 8,000 people in it. And it's a pretty good sized county. Yet we put in to have a revival. We started with cottage prayer meetings, and my folks took the phone book home and called every number in the phone book. Now that wasn't as big as you think, because the phone book wasn't much. But we found in that meeting that we got started and God got in it, and people drove great distances across the county to come to that meeting. And I'll tell you this, and this is not an exaggeration, my wife can tell you, hardly anybody stepped on the property. And I mean, not only in the building, which was packed out, but on the parking lot. If they got on the parking lot, God's Spirit got a hold of them, and they never got back in their car and left till they got saved. It was a miraculous thing that we saw happen. It was a God-sent revival. And it still today, when I go up there after 40-something years for a homecoming, people still talk about it. And there's still people in the church. They got saved in that revival. Now, it was a country revival in a small population area. We came here, and God blessed, and we just started seeing souls saved. And I'm going to see if any of you remember. We'd already gotten in this building. Of course, it wasn't widened out like it is now. But we'd gotten in this building, and we designated a revival meeting, and we were going to have 100 souls saved. Anybody remember the goal? We set out to reach 100 souls in that revival meeting. I got good news for you. We did. We started on a Sunday. The Gant Lake Sumter County Revival went Monday night through Friday night. We started on a Sunday and went through Sunday. And yes, we worked the buses, but 100 plus, a little over 100, professed faith in a week. It was a revival. It was a good one. I don't think it was quite in the same exact character. We had more machinery here to work with at that time. We had more workers and all that than we had up there in the country. But God was in it. And a lot of folks got saved, and some still in the church that got saved during that revival meeting. You know, I'd like to see a revival that would cause the truth to be heard again, the unvarnished truth. America needs that so bad. America is right now in confusion. Right. Don't know what's what. Here we are talking about the fourth. The truth is, we got people now worse than Benedict Arnold in our country. I mean, traitors. I mean folks that will sell us under, pull down, open the gate as it were. We got a Trojan horse living inside of America right now trying to destroy us every way we look. And it's crazy. And the sad part is the stupid news media is in cahoots with them. Do you know that Greek word, cahoots? Hope you do. They twist the truth every kind of way. Every kind of way you can think about. I said something about it this morning. It's still stuck in my Bible here, and I did not have time to say much. I stuck this piece in my Bible, ripped it out here. It's got a picture here of the rainbow clown-like person with horns like the devil and a face, painted face, rainbow over the back of it. This is what the ex-first lady attended, Michelle Obama, Public Library, Long Beach, California. The program here was the LGBTQ. You know what that represents, the transgender mess. Lesbians and so forth. Their program was with the transgenders. It was drag, get this one, drag queen friendly. And Satanists, the group of Satanists out there approved. The character here is a red-tipped demon-like horns. And this was in front of the young children to present to the young children the diversity and inclusion agenda. No wonder we're raising kids that don't know what in the world is right. They are actually being taught at a young age, you might just think you're a boy. Maybe you'd be a boy today and maybe a girl tomorrow. It's nuts. It's crazy. It's satanic. It's of the devil. And yet to read this stuff in a public library setting and bring it into school kids to brainwash them into this junk, that's so far from old America. That's why we need a revival. I mean a real one. We need to get back to where sin becomes sinful again. We need to get back to where we know what is truth and what is not. And we're in a mess on this thing. It goes on to say the celebration will include drag queen storytelling featuring in this character. I can't even say the name of this character. Praising the LGBTQ history. Long Beach, California, amazing thing. Anyway, America is going to have a revival to get right with God or she is gone. We were talking about this morning, and you were singing about it a while ago, In God We Trust, the choir singing. And talking about them suing over a tag that says, In God We Trust. I bet the same bunch don't mind pulling out money and using it. It's got In God We Trust on it, you know. But that's where we've gotten to, folks. It's crazy. It's amazing. Now I want to say this, and here's where there's a little bit of hope. I want to say I believe there is, because many of you are old enough to know when this stuff started in the '60s, back when Kennedy was assassinated, and then Robert Kennedy, and then. Lyndon Johnson, the mobs in the street over Vietnam, and then when the veterans came back being spit on and all of that business when they came back from the war. You remember all that business? We survived that, and by the grace of God, we got a man elected by the name of Ronald Reagan, and God used him. And the truth is, it bought us some time. But we sure have slid back. And now maybe I'm hoping under President Trump, God's given us a little more time for our grandkids' sake. I pray that is true. But it's such a twisted thing. Now, I'm going to say there's a difference. You know why the mob can get in the street instantly? Cyber communication. And that is working against truth in our country today. Please, young people, listen to me. What you get on your phone and over the online is not necessarily truth. It may be the farthest thing from it. And you better measure it by that don't change, and that's the Word of God. And just don't buy into everything and everybody's opinion. This is, for instance, right now, they said, oh, they're separating families. Let me say this. Anytime a mom and dad ever got arrested for breaking the law, the kids was left behind. And that's what you got at the borders out there right now. They don't care about the kids. It's an issue they think they can get votes over. Bunch of junk being twisted around. And kids are being abused, all right, but not in the sense that they're saying. And how we need to wake up. Things I would like to see, I'd like to see revival in America.
Amen.
Not only to see souls saved, but heads get back on straight.
Yes.
Get back to measuring stuff by thus saith the Lord and what is right. I'll say this, and there's some things I'd like to see. And there is some things I'm going to see later. See, the text said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Do you know that there's no final full satisfaction until you do that, until you awaken the Lord's presence?
Yeah.
This is a sin-cursed world.
Right.
You know, we may be getting along pretty good today, but what kind of pain is going to hit you tomorrow?
Yeah.
What kind of bad things going to happen? We know it's coming. Somebody else has got it. That's why we got a prayer list over here. We're praying for somebody else. And I'll tell you what, won't be long before we'll be on the list and somebody be praying for us. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. We need to remember that. And we'll never be satisfied until we awaken his likeness, until God wraps it up. And now I'm dating myself, but there used to be, and some of you smokers don't raise your hand, but used to be a big sign on the road advertising Lucky Strike cigarettes. I remember in the third grade, we had a boy in the third grade, probably should have been in the fifth, but he was in the third. And even in playing ball or wrestling with him, I hated it because his breath stink so bad. Because we called him Lucky because he always had a pack of Lucky Strikes in his pocket. And he smoked them. I'm talking about third grade. But you could drive down the road and you'd see a big old billboard up there. And it'd say, Lucky Strike satisfies. That's a lie. If it did, only one would do it. Right? Instead of a pack or two packs a day. Right? The world is like that. It claims to satisfy, but it can't. It can temporarily make you happy for a few minutes or a few hours. It can temporarily give you some victories, but it won't long range satisfy. And that's the truth. Nothing is going to satisfy until we meet our final goal and our final climax with the Lord. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You don't say in it, it says with thy likeness. Somehow or another. I read over in 1 John chapter 3, somehow we're going to be like him. We are now the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we'll see him as he is, the text said. Wow. Can you imagine that? Can you? I don't meddle, because it's true with all of us, but who in the world would say when I look in the mirror or get up early in the morning that I'm pleased with everything? I don't think so. But one day I will be. Not satisfied with it now, but one day I will be. Amen? Right now I need all the help I can get. And how many of you find that when you sit down in a deep chair, you don't get up as quick as you used to? Once in a while, when my wife says, get up and do something, I say, this chair won't let me up. Well, that's what's going to get worse and worse and truer, that it's going to take longer to get it done because we're wearing out. Sure we are. And we won't be satisfied until we awake in his likeness. You know, I think about in my own church, somebody says, well, I'd be satisfied to live 60 years, but when you got to 60, you'd want more. Well, okay, 70, but you'll still want more. And at 80, you'll still want more, and at 90, you'll probably still want more, even though some of us are beginning to think maybe we might be more willing to give up as we get older. But even in our church, There's a lot of our folks already crossed over, and there's a lot of them on the way. And many know that they're going to cross over soon. Yeah, we don't want to leave loved ones. We don't want to leave unfinished tasks, so to speak. But let's face it, there'll never be a time that we'll be totally satisfied here. Always something else needed, always something else to do, always some reason to maybe stay a little longer. Now, we get to hurt bad enough, we're willing to let go. Understand that. But I'm saying to you that this life just doesn't fully satisfy. It's not supposed to. We won't be satisfied until we awake in His likeness. Thank God that's a promise that we will, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the price He paid for us. You know, Paul knew his time was coming. Sure he did. I mean, man, he locked up in prison, even though God used him as a witness there. Paul knew his time was short. You know what he said? He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. He didn't go out whining. He went out in victory. I like to go out that way. I'd rather go out that way, hadn't you? Sure, sure. You know, I couldn't sing it, not even a line of it, but there's an old song that says, speaks of one day we'll be satisfied. Satisfied. And then I think somewhere, if I'm thinking about the right song, somewhere near the end or somebody singing a special says something like this. I wonder if he's going to be satisfied with me. Big question. What have I done for the Lord since I got saved? Have I given to His cause? Have I witnessed? Have I lived a testimony in my clean life to represent Jesus? All that will help you be more satisfied when it comes time to cross over. Most regrets on the deathbed is from somebody who didn't do what they knew they should have done. I've talked to a lot of folks dying, and they knew they were dying. I knew they were dying. And many times it's a precious time, and sometimes it's a time of tears and regret. And wish they could do better, wish they could do it again. The best way not to have regrets on your deathbed is do it right while you've got the chance. Put the Lord Jesus first while you've got the chance. And then you'll have peace when crossing time comes. This old Scottish miner, farmer, his name was Billy Bray. Probably read something about him. Any of you read some of the biographies? Billy Bray was poor, uneducated pretty well, but he got saved out in the pea patch. And he never got over that. And Billy Bray was the kind, when he'd go to church, you couldn't have a dead church service with Billy Bray in the congregation. He just got happy every time he'd think about being saved and going to heaven. And God used him. And a lot of souls were saved because of his testimony of always being up, never down, always up, just always praising God for salvation in Christ. And old Billy Bray was on his deathbed. And the doctor was in the room, and people had been coming and going. And Billy began to perceive what was going on. He saw the doctor whispering to his wife and to his kin. And Billy called him over to the bed. And Billy said, Doc, are you telling them that I'm fixing to go? And the doctor kind of said, well, you know, just trying to ease into it and trying to be cautious. Billy said, no, doctor, praise the Lord. That's what I've been looking for. That kind of attitude. Big difference. Billy was fixing to get satisfied forever. I'd like to go out like Billy Bray. I really would. But if I'm going to do it, I'm going to have to be faithful day by day, hour by hour, the opportunities God gives me. And one day, and it'd be nice, I'd like to see the rapture first, but if not, I'd like to go out in victory, wouldn't you? Amen. Let me ask you tonight, do you have that victory? Something you're wrestling with, you ought to give God the benefit of the doubt with, surrender to Him? You'd never regret letting God win the argument. Never. You'll regret the ones that you kept for yourself. It was not honest with him about. I challenge you tonight, what would you like to see before you cross over? Some things you want to get done that you'd go like Paul did, saying, I finished my course. Or like Billy Bray, praise God, this is what I was looking forward to. Wow. That time's going to come, and you don't have to think very deep right now for people that sit on the pew with you and sit around here. They're there. And give us a little time, and the rest of us are going to be there too. How is it with you tonight? I pray it's all right, that you're looking forward to seeing the day you'll be satisfied in his likeness. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Father, we commit the message to you, Lord. We just kind of got to preaching to our own selves tonight, and some of the best folks we know in this room tonight. But dear God, I pray you'd help us to see what we have in Christ and to realize this whole world's not going to satisfy us, and that we won't spend our effort and our time and all that we have trying to seek that is temporary and fleeting and will pass away, but invest ourselves in being closer to you and right with you, and one day looking forward to that time of full satisfaction when we face you. Bless the invitation, I pray. If there's one here unsaved, we'd be glad to take a Bible and show them how to be saved. But Father, I pray for your people. Lord, we in a world that's hurting tonight. Help us, Father, to be what we ought to be as we represent you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. We'll have an invitation verse. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it.
Oh.